This is Living Real Radio, real issues in real time with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, and Julianne Staley. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.
Welcome to Living Real Radio. I am here with two wonderful co-hosts, Julianne Staley and Azarga. You are with us again.
Yes, I am.
I get you like 2 weeks in a row. This is great. And Julie, you had to miss last week. You were doing an airport run?
I was, yes. I was taking my brother to the airport, and it's none of my brothers that are high maintenance, but this brother never asks anything of me. So like I jumped at the chance, but then he was like, I need to go in an hour. And I was like, oh, okay.
So there we go.
I had a bail. I apologize. Yeah.
Well, it's nice to help out the ones that we love. That's an important thing. And so topic today is change. I started off with a David Bowie song, you know, and changes. This is
what was it like? This is so bad. I only remember it from the movie Shrek because my brothers would watch that like on repeat when we were kids, so it just is always in my head.
Yeah.
But back in the day, was that a very hip song for you?
Well, you know, it actually is before my time a bit, you know.
Really?
I mean, I was born in the 70s, but like,
oh, I didn't know.
My music time was really the 80s. That was like when that was the consumer pop portion of my life, right?
Gotcha.
But I mean, I did hear it on the radio, and I have an appreciation for Bowie. I really love Bowie, you know.
I wasn't trying to age you, sorry.
A little bit of ageism there.
So I'm sorry. This is going to be the show of Julie apologizing. I'm sorry I missed last week. I'm sorry I just aged you. All right, Anna, what do you have?
I'm sorry. I don't have anything.
So this
changes
is about,
in age. Is that what we're talking about today?
Yeah. Now, the cool thing, though, that you said about, is it about Shrek? You know, because Shrek, you know, is dealing with a bunch of changes in his life, right? It kind of changes his perspective on his relationship with the world and with others.
Yeah.
And that's what this episode is about. Experiences that have had a transformational effect on maybe how we do ministry or how, you know, that put us in a new direction. And I guess motivation behind this for me was I've been reading a bit on spiritual direction. And a spiritual director is someone you meet with, you know, personally, one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And their job really is to help you see how you're experiencing God and where that's leading you. Mm. And to take that experience and weigh that with scripture and tradition in a way that your experience actually informs that, and vice versa, they inform each other. And it can have a transformational effect if we can look at those experiences and see, maybe look at them through the lens of how is God speaking to me and what does this mean in my life, right?
Yeah.
We just brought a couple stories to the table about changes. And I don't want to start. So, Julianne. Aww, oh,
come on.
Anna just pointed at Julianne.
Where do you want to start? I mean, I'm like an ogre in that I have many layers. ogres are onions. Onions have many layers. We're sticking with the Shrek theme. So which layer are we talking about? Like just ministry or personally?
I think it could go either way. Or is there anything that's like a combination of the two for you? Or it could be ministry, you know?
I would say ministry-wise, a huge turning point for me was actually when I was a teacher at JP2. I was a high school teacher, and I was teaching church history, which is nobody's favorite subject. Who wants to, you know, as a 15-year-old, who wants to sit and learn about, you know, a 2000-year
institution? It's really boring to teach. I mean, there's not a lot.
I love it, but I'm like, there's only so many popes you can talk about. And the kids are like, wait, who is that? Why'd they do that? What's going on? Are we in the 6th century, 16th? Like, it kind of all blends together after a certain point. So, like, I love teaching, but the bigger task was trying to make it entertaining for the kids to want to learn about our faith. Because they did like learning about doctrine, but when you have to put the history into it, that was the tough piece. So I knew that the kids didn't really care for the particular class. Mm-hmm. And I would just go around talking to kids as I passed out papers, and I'd be like, hey, how's it going? If one kid was sleepy, I was like, you have a long night last night? And they'd be like, oh yeah, too much homework. Like just kind of small talk. And one day this girl, I said, are you okay? And she said, yeah, and just put her head back down. I was like, wasn't her usual personality. But then she came to me after school and she confided in me that she was thinking about killing herself. Mm. And she said it wasn't until I asked her if she was okay. And I never thought a question like that would be so powerful. And I knew she was off, but I didn't read that much into it. But then I also knew I wasn't equipped to handle the situation. And that really struck a chord with me. And I realized that as much as I love teaching, I want to be more involved in the lives of teens to help them know that they're not alone and to be there as a support system for them. And so that's really the turning point for me of why I wanted to get involved in ministry full time. And I came to St. Philip.
Wow.
Wow, that's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Thank you. She's doing well now. She's good. But it just really like that wore on me. And I just was like, I immediately jumped on Jason Foundation, which is a great organization here in, it's in Hendersonville, but it helps the greater Nashville area with kids who are dealing with suicide. And so I hopped on there, I started watching videos and really just dove into it. But there's so many components to our lives, right? Mm-hmm. Emotional, spiritual, physical, like it can all wear on you. And so that's what I've tried to equip myself with, but there's nothing that can prepare you for that in ministry even. Like you always have your first experience, I think, that sticks out to you like that. What about you, Greg?
That's powerful. It gets me thinking about teaching. Because I've had about 12 years as a classroom teacher, and I actually have been thinking a lot about how my interactions with my students, like what would change. Actually, part of it that's been getting me to think about it is watching Ted Lasso.
I love Ted Lasso. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
That is an amazing show. Have you seen it?
I've only seen like, clips from it.
I've watched the first season like 3 times. Just to get like different friends on board, you know, like who've come over and like,
yeah, and I think it's just so wholesome. And that's really the whole point of the show.
Right.
And I think that's why it won. So it just won a bunch of awards at the Emmys.
It did. And it's about kindness.
Yeah.
Okay. So my story is a school story too.
Okay.
And it has to do with teaching our kids. Mm-hmm. So, when we first started out as young parents, we decided to homeschool. To do like Catholic homeschooling. And there were various motivations for that. One was that I was a touring musician when the kids were really, really young. And I thought like it was really great because they got like a pretty broad perspective on things. Like we spent time out at a church in Shiprock, New Mexico, and it was a Navajo pastor out there who was working with men and women dealing with addiction. And my kids got this really kind of multicultural experience, you know, mm-hmm. We spent a week out there together, with the community, and it was just really beautiful. And so I thought like, man, yeah, this is great. They're getting a nice kind of cross section of life. But at the same time, you know, we were also homeschooling because we felt like, you know, we kind of had to protect our kids from the world. Like we could do a better job. And I think we had a very kind of defensive protectionist attitude about things, and that rhetoric definitely affected the kids. And when we got to having our fourth child, Joseph, trying to homeschool and wrangle everybody just got to be a lot. And Mary went through, you know, a difficult time, and we discerned it was best to put the kids in school. And Mary decided to go back to work because it was better for her. So our oldest, Jesse, her first experience with public school was as a seventh grader. And they were going to a performing arts focused public school. So she brought a bottle of holy water with her, and she kept it in her locker. And she noticed a kid come to his locker, and he had jet black hair and black fingernail polish and is wearing all black. And she thought, oh my gosh, this kid's into the devil. Mm. And she took the holy water, popped it open, and splashed him with it.
Oh wow.
And she looks back
on
it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And she looks back and she says, Dad, you know, like I feel really bad because I never saw that kid again. You know? And I realized that by trying to insulate my kids and using, I think, this fear-based narrative, that I was actually making them, not saving them from danger, but actually making them dangerous when it comes to encountering diversity. Mm. And it changed my perspective on how to approach ministry. Rather than using the boogeyman, defend yourself against all this bad stuff, I like to put an emphasis on that God is love, and that our call mm-hmm. and our gift is to love, mm-hmm. you know, and to bring that out into the world and to transform it, to make a change that way. And I think it's just, that had a powerful impact on it. And it changed my rhetoric and my thinking, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that would.
Mm-hmm.
So the song, I'm sure it changed her as well.
Yeah. It does. Mm-hmm. She looks back on it, you know, and thinks a lot about that. And so the song I have to kind of go with this story is The Beatles, All You Need Is Love.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
Especially on this radio station.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. You know, I was just, some of the lyrics that pop out to me is, you know, there's nothing you can do that can't be done. There's nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. All you need is love. I'd like to say up front, too, that the songs that we have today can't be featured on our podcast because just the licensing rules are different with broadcast versus podcast distribution. But on our podcast, you can find links to each of the songs in the episode notes. So check those out. You can pause the podcast, jump to the tune, and then jump back to us. So here's All You Need Is Love, The Beatles. You're listening to Living Real on Nashville's Hippie Radio 94.5, made possible by Closets by Design.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "There is a place for everything, everything in its place." For most of us, that's easier said than done. Let the professionals at Closets by Design help you find a place for all of your everythings. They're experts in maximizing your storage space by creating new organizational units for any space in your home. Imagine your home totally organized, along with your office, pantry, closet, or garage. Call locally owned Closets by Design today for your free in-home consultation and save 40% off their everyday low prices, plus receive free installation. They'll design and price your new space during the visit. Call 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700 or online at closetsbydesign.com.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio. I'm Greg Walton. I'm here with co-hosts Julianne Staley, Anna Zaraga. Anna is our pastoral associate. She's filling in for John. John had bilateral knee replacement, and
he'll be dancing in no time.
He'll be dancing in no time. Yeah. Yeah.
And playing the piano.
Yeah. And we're talking about experiences that have kind of changed the way that we either do ministry or had an impact on our lives and the way that we see things. And so Julianne shared a story. I shared a story. Anna, it's your turn.
Dun,
dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Well, I'm no John, that's for sure, because I'm sure he'll have lots of music to play. But it's interesting that you talk about, you know, change and things that impacted your life. And for some of you that know me here at the parish, I mean, my life comes with a lot of history from my parents' side. They immigrated from Cuba when Castro had taken over. And I saw a lot of change coming and growing up, and I witnessed a lot of it through my father. And one of the most poignant moments in my life was the change that he made and converted to or rediscovered his faith in the church. But because of his strong belief that you never judge anybody, you just really accept people as they are. It's all derived by the key factor of Christ, and that's love. Mm. And it's interesting when you were asking about what made me change in my life. I mean, as a child, you know, you grow up not really understanding things, and then all of a sudden your eyes are opened, and my eyes were opened with music. Music is actually what touched my heart, and it's always been part of my life. And I thank my father for that, because he was also very passionate about music. And I think that changed him as well in softening him. And love had a huge impact. And we talk about what songs influenced us. And one of the songs is a song that my dad introduced me to, by Johnny Mathis, who sang If You Only Have Love. And it's an extremely powerful song, but it was a poem that was written by Jacques Brel. And back in 1961, and I had just been born, but my dad played it all the time. And it was just a beautiful song, and I know that you're going to hopefully hear it later on, but it makes you see people differently. And that has grown with me all my life, and I think that's what drew me to ministry, because the one impact that can make a change in people is loving, and loving unconditionally. And I think that's the important thing about Christ. That's what Christ brought to us, is loving unconditionally. And no matter what our pasts are, Dad came with a lot of baggage, and I'm certainly not a saint, but hopefully in striving towards sainthood, as we've been hearing last week in our mission talks, love is the key to a lot of it. I think the love that you shared with, because of your children wanting to protect them, maybe didn't help as they went into the real world, but it did put such a great foundation for them that I think that in itself is the love of a parent. The love that you shared, Julianne, earlier with regards to that student, that kindness that you showed by just asking the one question, are you okay? It was the one thing, obviously it was the one thing she needed to hear, because she opened up to you. And those are those love moments that we're all experiencing in our lives. And I think that's really powerful. But keeping in mind that we have to, no matter what's going on, change is super important for us. Mm-hmm. And we're going to change even from today on. There'll be something that touches us that will have us change in our life. And I think also the change that ministry brings to touch people's lives is amazing, to not judge them, to truly love them as Christ would love. I hope that that's what I take from everything that I've brought with my baggage of my life and what my parents instilled in me, and no matter where you are. And, you know, I don't have the words in front of me for that song, but towards the end it talks about that we will all be together, and with love we would drink from the Holy Grail. And it just reminds me so much of that's what we do when we come to communion all the time, is, and we can do that all together as one. Mm-hmm. And again, with no judgment whatsoever. So it's a great song, and I hope you enjoy it.
So here's If You Only Had Love by Johnny Mathis, and you're listening to Living Real on Nashville's Hippie Radio 94.5.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio with your hosts, Greg Walton. I am Julianne Staley, and we have Anna Zaraga. Did I say that right? No.
Zaraga.
Zaraga.
There's multiple ways of saying it.
Anna.
There
Zaraga,
you go,
Zaraga.
Yeah.
Well, potato, it's not the record, potato, potato, yeah. Tomato.
In Spanish, Ana Zaraga. In English, Ana Zaraga.
It's not, see? It's pretty. Gosh, I got to work on my Spanish.
Roll the Yars.
All right.
Oh,
so,
that was good. See?
Oh, thank you. And my brother, who needed a ride to the airport, can't roll his Rs. And that's our favorite thing, to just get him to try. He's just like, ugh. Like, he sounds like he has a numb tongue. But anyway, all right, moving right along, we're talking about change today. Sorry, it's like the afternoon, so I'm getting kind of goofy. I had a 10-minute break today, and that's all I've had.
Mm-hmm. I know, and you're dealing with eighth graders.
Oh, my goodness, yeah, those kids, they are
such
something
a
else.
Wonderful. time of year.
Fun.
They are, though. They were, no, I think they are I'm one of like probably 15 people in the world who are entertained by middle schoolers. They had great questions today. They were just talking about like, do angels have souls? And, you know, do people like, what are spirits like? They just went off and they're mm-hmm. asking about creation and they're with it. Sometimes I feel like I'm not on the ball as much as I should be, but they're going through a lot of change as middle schoolers.
Right.
You know, physically and emotionally sure. and mentally as they were telling me they're fighting with their siblings. But in terms of personal matters, they like to share a lot. So I appreciate that. And as we talked about, you were sharing personally. And you were sharing personally, but also like ministerially where you are, Greg. Mm-hmm. But like, Anna, when did you first get involved in ministry and how did that change occur for you? Like, where was the Holy Spirit calling you to get involved and how's that transformed you to where you are today? You know, easy question.
Easy question. That was back in the, I would say the late 70s and 80s, going to church on every Sunday, because that's what we do as Catholics, Catholic parents, that at least my mom would take me to church every Sunday. And I think what drew me in was the music. There was what was known as the folk group with guitars and just an incredible leader at that time that mentored me for many years. And brought me in to music. And I think when I would be singing, mm-hmm. Something would occur. There was just this connection that I would experience with God. And this was in my teens. And I didn't really know at that time what it was. I just thought, okay, I just like to sing. But there was more happening. And I think it was my mother who later explained to me that it was really the connection between me and God. And that was the bond. But I knew I wanted more, and I didn't want to just stop there. So I got more involved in church and working with younger kids than me. So like preschool kids. And though I wasn't a teacher, they called me the music teacher because I would bring my guitar and just play with them and music and stuff. So, but I think, yeah, back I was in my teens, early teens, and ministry struck me there as music ministry. And from that point on, I have not stopped working in church life and ministry work in a variety of fields.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. I feel like ministry workers are a different breed, and that like once you're in it for life. And even if you're not specifically working for the church, you're still doing ministry. And I think everybody's called to that, but especially there's a particular group of people that really fall in love with it and recognize its worth.
You know, I think it has a transformational effect because you stop from just being a recipient to being somebody who gives, mm-hmm. you know, and bringing something that others receive. And that there's something really fulfilling and God connecting yeah. about that. You know, I could say vouch for, you know, a similar deal, you know, like when I was in grade school, my parents put me in the children's choir. And I know, like, I was just like such a pain in the butt in the pew. I was not attentive at all.
I would have loved to meet you as a child.
Oh my, you would have. I would have been like all over the place, counting the lights, you know, like,
oh yeah,
just like whatever, and asking questions like, all right, when is this done, you know, mostly. And I think, though, they knew that I liked to sing. So they got the idea like, oh, we'll put him in the children's choir. Mm-hmm. And that did have an impact because, honestly, I didn't realize that I could sing. I just sang at home. I didn't think that like I had any anything that was worth it. I just liked to do it. And then I got, you know, some opportunities to canter, you know, with the children's choir and different things like that. But then not only that, but I felt something, you know, the fact that I could give something and it had an impact on them, and seeing that feedback in people mm-hmm. was really powerful. And I felt God in the midst of all that. That's when I really started feeling that connection was, you know, it was a horizontal deal with the body of Christ. And that also then helped me on the vertical end, you know, with that yeah. connection to God. That was cool.
Yeah. And really times cool. times have changed because for me, I'm the oldest one in the group, for those of you who don't know.
No. You could never tell by your voice.
You could never tell by my voice. Thank you. But the only positions for women when I was going through school was either music ministry or working in the office, but certainly nothing managerial. And I was always upset that I couldn't be an altar server because at that time there weren't girls that were altar servers. So the only thing I had to lean on was music, because then that way I could actually be part of the mass. So change has occurred in so many ways, because we do have altar servers now that are, they're girls. We do have main ministers that are women. And my goodness, we have Eucharistic ministers that are also women, because back then as well, women were not allowed to be distributing the Eucharist. Mm. So I've seen these huge changes occur just in my lifetime. And that's, again, that's the love of Christ showing that we can change, and it's okay. Change is good.
Mm. Yeah. Cool. Julie, do you have a song?
I do. I have Tracy Chapman's song, Change, that I chose. And that, I mean, was tying in more with my own personal changes that I experienced growing up. And I think to that end, my greatest changes in life were when I recognized that it had to come from within. I wanted others to change. And that's not what you should do. Good luck with that. But it's actually my search song. When I was in high school, I chose it because you give a talk at the search retreat, which I feel like we mentioned like once a month on the show, but it's a high school retreat for juniors and seniors, and it's peer led. So it's other high schoolers that are in charge of the small groups and giving talks. And so for my talk that I gave, this is what I chose, was Tracy Chapman's song, Change. And because I struggled in my relationship with my father through high school, and I kept wanting him to change, but then it dawned on me, like, no, if I want to like see a difference, it has to come from me. I can't just like point at someone and be like, you need a change. And I think that's a part of adulthood, is recognizing that we can't just get mad at other people and be like, they need a change, they need to do this. Like, what are you doing? How are you impacting this? Mm-hmm. And so I just love the lyrics of the song, because it starts off saying, if you knew that you would die today, if you saw the face of God and love, would you change? Mm. And I think most of the time when people change, it's when that happens, when somebody dies or when they have a very powerful experience of love or in the moment. I think a lot of times looking back, we can be like, oh, God was there in that moment. God was with me when this happened. But how many times do we experience it as it's happening? Like, I know God is with me. And that's when true change occurs. That's when we're transformed. So that's my song.
Cool. All right. Change. Tracy Chapman. You're listening on Living Real, Nashville's Hippie Radio 94.5, made possible by Closets by Design.
Hey, Greg, you know what I've been struggling with lately?
What's that?
I cannot keep my closets organized enough. Do you ever have that problem?
You know, I try to imagine my house totally organized. And that's my dream.
And so many people that I know, they have the same problem with organizing their closets. And if you're one of these people, I think we should turn tomorrow to our friends at Closets by Design.
That's right. Yeah, they help you organize your whole house. Not just closets.
Not just closets, but other things. Well, where can we find Closets by Design?
You can find Closets by Design by calling 615-261-8700.
What's that number again?
That is 615-261-8700.
Visit Closets by Design, sponsors of Living Real Radio.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio. I'm here with my co-hosts, Julianne Staley and...
I've had too much coffee today.
Anna Zaraga.
Anna Zaraga. I'm Craig Walton. And we are talking about change and transformation and experience, how experiences that had a transformational impact on, mm-hmm. on us, the way we see things. And the way we do ministry. So, I'm going to share a story, and this is heavy. It may be, I don't know, I'll just have to give a little trigger warning with this. So when I was 15, my parents are from Northern Indiana, Michigan City and LaPorte. And it's, you know, right off, pretty close to the lake. And so we would go over the summers to a cottage in a small town for vacation, and it was co-owned by my folks and my aunt and uncle. And so we went out there almost every weekend on the summer. And I grew up in the southwest suburbs of Chicago. So every summer, the local Catholic parish had its Catholic festival. And it was, you know, the beer tent and the barbecue and carnival games. You could win the goldfish. I think I might have gotten a couple goldfish of mine, you know, at that parish festival. And then they had a dance for the teens. And so I decided to go to the dance. And I was, you know, a typical southwest suburban kiddo, and I liked new wave music. Mm-hmm. So I you know, I listened to The Call and Simple Minds and all that kind of stuff. And so I put on my oversized suit coat and put a little gel in my hair, had my whole Anthony Michael Hall thing going on.
Amazing.
Right?
Yep.
And I went to the dance, and everybody was standing against the wall, you know, and so I danced, you know, and because we just danced like crazy at my high school. And then I met a really nice girl, and we talked for a little bit, and it got late. It was time to go home. So I was walking home, and I saw three people following me on my way home. And they caught up with me, and one of the guys pinned me down on the ground, and he said to his friend, "Give me the knife." And they stuck the knife to my throat. And they said, "Dude, you're obviously gay. We don't want your kind here." Now, I'm not gay, and not that that should have mattered on how I was treated, but I'd had some strong spiritual experiences already, and I just had a calm come over me. And so I just witnessed to the guy. You know, I shared my faith with him, and so the guy said, so you're a Christian? And I'm like, yeah. Well, okay, then you can go, you know, but I don't want to ever see you around here, you know, kind of thing. And I came back to my to the cottage, and I told my folks what happened. And now my parents are really loving people, really supportive, but they said, "That's your fault, because you wore that stupid jacket, you know, and you put the gel in your hair, and you made yourself a target, you know." And so I was reflecting on this experience now, and I was just kind of seeing it as a parable, right? Of here was this event, you know, hosted by a Catholic church, and I came in as something other. And I'm not going to blame this on the church, on the parish, but in the shadows, what we were unaware of were these attitudes. They encountered somebody a little bit different, and that's how I was treated. So I guess it's really one of the reasons I think in my ministry I try to be so mindful and sensitive to folks that are on the margins and that we see as somebody on the outside is because of my experience of being on the outside. And I also find myself reflecting on the kid who put the knife to my throat. I knew there were some other local kids who were friends of mine, and they said, "Man, he had it really, really rough. He came from a really abusive home." I think all this stuff comes from fear, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to say, it's not the shadows, it's humanity.
It's not
the church, it's humanity. And I was talking with my kids today about concupiscence, like just that inclination to do, you see how you're treated, so then you treat others that way. But are you being treated right? And are you then treating others right?
Right. And kind of like in the story I shared earlier of the rhetoric that had an impact on my daughter, there was definitely some really unhealthy rhetoric going on in this kid's home. That's my story. And the song that I have to go along with this is by Sam Cooke. A Change Is Going to Come. And I want to just recognize the fact that Sam is African-American, and he actually writes from his perspective of being Black in the world. And here I am, a suburban kid going to a vacation home, coming from a place of privilege and having this experience of rejection. And you know, Sam is coming from the perspective of the difficulties that African-Americans have had. The line that stuck out to me goes, "I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keeps telling me, don't hang around." And the little ways that we maybe do that, we don't think. This is A Change Is Gonna Come, Sam Cooke, and you're listening on Living Real. Welcome back to Living Real Radio. I'm Greg Walton. here with Anna Zaraga and Julianne Staley. We're talking about change, and we just listened to A Change Is Going to Come by Sam Cooke, and stories and experiences that had an impact and changed our perspective on things. Actually, it's really time for us to wrap up, but Anna, you had another song you're going to bring.
Sure. It's called One Tin Soldier, and it's a great song, but just a moment of just saying thank you, Greg, for sharing that story. That was very profound, very deep, but it's brought you to who you are today, and that change that occurred to you back then is certainly has made you a stronger and better man today, and helps the church, helps the ministry that you're in. So thank you for sharing that, which is a great way of just saying one tin soldier. I mean, the words can be very simple, but again, very poignant, because it just kind of flashed to me is you're my one tin soldier right now after that beautiful story, because you're the one that kept fighting for, and you keep fighting for those that we tend to marginalize and put to the side, and you don't give up, and you do it with love, and we thank you for that. And one tin soldier at the end of the song, after even though the mountain people are willing to share everything with the people, those in the valley just don't want it, and they go up to battle and basically kill everybody, left one tin soldier alive. But the message that was taken, the treasure that they wanted, the gold, was nothing. It was a rock that was turned over, and it simply said, peace on earth. And again, we come back to what I believe is the essence of our faith, and that's love, kindness, peace. And if we can continue that change in all of us and everyone we come in contact with by just showing that kindness and non-judgmental and showing them love and opening ourselves up to that and allowing us to hurt when it has to hurt, but knowing that we're going to get stronger from that, we can be that one tin soldier.
Julianne?
Yes?
Thanks for being my co-host.
You're welcome.
Anna? Buddy. Yeah.
Thank you for having me, Greg.
Julianne. Thank you guys for sharing. No, but really.
Yeah.
You open yourself up.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate that. So here's One Tin Soldier by the original cast. Thanks for joining us on Living Real on Nashville's Hippie Radio 94.5. Made possible by Closets by Design. Go out and smile at somebody.
You've been listening to Living Real Radio, real issues in real time, with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, and Julianne Staley. Be sure to tune in every week at 8 a.m. to Living Real Radio. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.